And welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we address the political scene in Colorado. Critical things happening in this state right now. And we are excited to have Senator Greg Brophy joining us. He's a homeschool father. They've homeschooled their own children out towards Ray, Colorado over the years. I've known Greg for a long time, and he's been very active in Colorado politics, now running for governor of the state in the 2014 elections, and near and dear to my heart because I ran for the same office in 1994, some 20 years ago. Greg, welcome back to the Generations program. It's good to have you with us.
Well, it is good to be with you.
You know, it's been a bloodbath down there. We've commented on that a number of times. Colorado being a swing state, a very important state, I think everybody's watching Colorado. And we've reported from Colorado quite a bit. We've got a national audience listening to us. But it's been a rough time the last couple of years, and you've been in the middle of it.
Yeah, and it's appropriate for everybody in the whole country to care about what's going on here in Colorado. We are the largest state population-wise in the Rocky Mountain West. We are that swingy state. And here's what's interesting is if you think about this historically, if a Republican or conservative is going to have a chance of winning the presidency in 2016, they have to win Colorado. Mm-hmm. And historically, the Republican hasn't won in Colorado without a Republican governor in place here to help them with infrastructure, et cetera, since 1988.
Wow.
So it's important. And then as you mentioned, just the bloodbath last year with all of those gun control bills.
Oh, man.
If they're allowed to stand, so if the gun control governor isn't defeated in the upcoming November election, I think it emboldens gun grabbers across the country to come after our Second Amendment rights. And and really, it's so critical for the whole country that right here in the middle of the Rocky Mountain West, that we take a stand, that we show anti-Second Amendment people like Mayor Bloomberg that they can't come here and take our guns.
You know, Colorado is the cowboy capital of America, of the world. You know, if they take away the guns from the cowboys in Colorado, I mean, it's open season in every other state, in every country in the world. There's no hope for gun rights or for the right to bear arms anywhere in the world if they take guns from the Western states, as I see it. I mean, this is really where the battle happens. And it was a shocker to me that the left, the Democrats, went after guns in Colorado, and it was, I mean, there was no restraint at all in their seeking out a liberal agenda to violate human rights and freedoms in this state.
There was none. And I laugh and joke about this a little bit. There are some classic political blunders, One of those is don't get involved in a land war in Asia. And the other one is don't take away guns from people in America. And I think that's a classic political blunder that Bill Clinton made back in 1993. And I never dreamed it would happen in Colorado, but it did. And that's one of the main reasons why I'm running for governor.
And there's hope. There's hope. The recall elections that occurred down in Pueblo and Colorado Springs, was it last October, November timeframe? I mean, there's
last
hope
September.
For us.
Yeah, last September, the two of the senators who pushed these gun control bills faced recall elections, the first ever for a state elected official in Colorado, and both of them were recalled and replaced with Republican lawmakers. And that happened. The one happened in a town that has been a Democratic town for 40 some odd years now. They now have a Republican state senator because of gun control.
Yeah. Now the left extended themselves too much. And I'm looking for a pendulum swing back in 2014. What's your prognosis? I mean, would you say things are looking good for a swing back towards the right?
I think so. What you see when you look at all of the public polls that are available for here in Colorado, and in one of them, PPP, that polled likely voters, they have me tied with Governor Hickenlooper for the November election.
Okay.
And in all of the polls, regardless if it's likely voters or just registered voters, Governor Hickenlooper and U.S. Senator Mark Udall, who's also up for re-election, a Democrat who supported gun control back in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. In both cases, those guys are upside down with independent voters in Colorado. And the independent voter block is actually the largest block of voters in the state now because they've gotten so disgusted with, frankly, both parties.
Are they pro-gun generally?
Yeah, that what you see is that the polls indicate that the majority of unaffiliated voters, again, or independent voters, believe that the Democrats went too far last year with gun control. And you know what's interesting? Mm-hmm. I mean, even a majority of people in Colorado and a strong majority of the independent voters now believe it would be okay to arm teachers in schools if they were properly trained.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. And schools have been getting more violent. And yeah, I mean, you've got to allow innocent citizens to defend themselves in this kind of world. And I'm hoping that that our Colorado government will have more sense by 2014. What's the year looking like this year? Are they a little less aggressive in their liberal agenda down at the Capitol in Denver?
It's an election year. Mm-hmm. And I think they sensed that they went a little too far last year. So this year they've ratcheted back quite a bit. The only thing that we have so far that, you know, most people don't pay close attention to laws pertaining to elections, and rightly so, because, you know, it's not one of the hot button issues upon which people vote. But the Democrats have passed a bill, or passing a bill this year, and they passed a bill last year that actually makes it easier for people to fraudulently vote and therefore steal elections. Wow. And I think that will come back to bite them down the road when an election is proven to be stolen, which we'll be able to do after the fact, but you won't know who benefited from the fraud necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I think when the people of Colorado see that one party set up a system where someone could cheat in elections and get away with it, I think they'll be held to account for that at some point down the road, too.
I hope so. You know, I think a lot of homeschoolers and conservatives and Christians throughout Colorado and around the United States, they just want to be left alone. I mean, they want some freedom to make some of their own choices. And you know, it's amazing. The same year that legitimized the recreational use of pot, the Colorado legislature put a lot of restraints on whether parents can use alternative medicine for their kids. And I mean, it's incredible. You know, here you provide entertainment for people who are generally fairly irresponsible with their use of, you know, psychotropic drugs. And then on the other hand, you know, responsible parents who want to use a chiropractor for their 2-year-old kid, you know, they lost rights in Colorado in 2013. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what are these liberals doing?
Well, what we have here are elected officials who are out of touch with the people of Colorado. Because the people of Colorado, I think you put your finger on it. We are very much a live and let live kind of state. Mm-hmm. But the Democratic legislators are very much central planners.
Don't live and don't let live.
Exactly. So they are heavy-handed central planners, and I think it's going to come home to roost with them. I mean, this is a state that, you know, the Democrats also passed a civil unions bill in Colorado last year.
And that
may actually enjoy majority support in the state of Colorado, because again, like I said, it is a live and let live state. But what the people of Colorado have this very visceral sense about is that when you're, for instance, operating a bakery, just minding your own business here in the state of Colorado, and a same-sex couple comes in and wants you to bake a wedding cake for them and you refuse, then the people of Colorado kind of want you to be left alone and be allowed to live according to your faith.
Yeah.
But oh, no, not state government in Colorado.
Right.
That baker is being prosecuted for refusing to bake that cake. I think the state is actually persecuting him for his religious beliefs. And I'm going to tell you, even amongst people that are, again, live and let live's kind of, you know, okay with the civil unions law, there's a lot of backlash amongst them with regard to how this baker here is being treated in Colorado. And so Colorado is ground zero.
Yeah.
We will either defend the Second Amendment in this state, or we will lose it. We will either defend religious liberty in this state, or we will lose it.
Hmm. You know, Texas did better last year than Colorado did. In fact, you know, I was in my chiropractor's office, would have been like May of 2013, when the liberals were doing everything they wanted to do down at the Capitol, took away gun rights, and then you had the one of the state
House reps doing his homosexual frolicking on the front page of the newspaper. And, you know, he was livid. He was my chiropractor. And he's just an ordinary guy. You know, he's just your average Colorado chiropractor. He was livid. You know, and he saw everything going on down at the Capitol. He said, I'm out of here. I'm moving to Texas. And I like this guy. So, why don't you hang around for another year or two? let's see how things work out in the next couple of years. I gave him a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, and he's still here. So, but he was upset. He was really upset with what was going on down at the Capitol.
And I get that sense because I've been running for governor. I go all over the state of Colorado, and I tell people in the biggest counties and the smallest counties, I want to be a governor for all of Colorado, and they're all upset, uniformly upset. They are not happy with this state government that's out of control. They don't like the state being the laughingstock of the nation. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be when you travel from out, from Colorado across the country, people would ask you if you about skiing and all those things. And I'm a farmer from the Eastern Plains. You can't even see the mountains from my house, but everybody would always ask you about, the skiing in Colorado. It's so beautiful there. Now, when you travel outside the state of Colorado, they ask you about gun control and pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess this pot thing is out of control too. just a little side note. We have a contractor working on our church building out here in Elbert County, and he says he's having a really hard time getting workers out of Denver. He's got to ship them in from New Mexico now. they're all enjoying their legalized marijuana.
They are, and it becomes a big problem for companies that want to drug test. And we're going to work our way through this. And remember, more people voted for dope here than voted for President Obama. So it's something that the average person here apparently is okay with. But there's going to be a lot of growing pains. We've got to do a ton of work to make sure that our kids are properly educated and kept away from a product that's pretty dangerous. And
In general, I'm okay with legalizing substances. I'm not real hot on government regulating every substance. But on the other hand, I like to have decent laws controlling the irresponsible use of substances. And that's exactly. That's my major concern when you got negligent issues and you have criminal issues happening. When people are high on drugs, I got a friend who's a detective for the Colorado Springs Police Department. I mean, he just says it's drugs, drugs, and more drugs. You know, when it comes to theft, guys are just stealing to buttress their drug habits. And so all this is kind of tied together. And if the our legal systems aren't really working on decent laws, that I think really throw the book at the bad guys. And that's one reason why I advocate the death penalty as well. And I'm not appreciative of the fact that Colorado pulled back on the death penalty about 15 years ago. I think it's biblical. And although you say that and you're going to get, you say that in a jury hearing on a capital crimes case, you're going to be in trouble. But you can say it on the air still.
but I think a little bit longer.
Tougher laws for guys who do bad things.
Yeah.
You know, that's really... I think the conservative approach, we say, okay, you throw the book at the bad guy who murders, rapes, and steals, and I mean, really throw the book at him, but you don't regulate the living daylights out of all the innocent citizens. Now, the left has it the other way around. They regulate the living daylights out of every innocent citizen who's just trying to raise his kids right, make the right medical choices, and protect his family with the right to bear arms. I mean, he's just a good guy.
Or operate a bakery.
Yeah, or operate a bakery. Exactly. Exactly. So let's not regulate the living daylights out of the good guys, but let's throw the book at the bad guys. The liberals have this the other way around, and in the end, innocent citizens get victimized.
Kevin, it shows in our public safety problems in Colorado now, too, in that the people that are in charge of our Department of Corrections and Parole system, I think, have a fundamental misunderstanding of human nature, and they all need to be replaced with people who really understand human nature and evil and the evil that does indeed exist in humans, in some of us, and we got to protect the innocent people from those. And so, one of my very first jobs as governor will be to bring in folks for corrections and parole from the states of Texas and Louisiana, where they do a better job of keeping bad guys in prison and reducing the number of victims in those states.
Greg, how do we protect innocent life? I mean, I know you're pro-life.
And I realize it's difficult in this state. You know, I've been fighting this pro-life battle in this state myself since 1991 and, you know, haven't made a lot of progress in this state. Now, Texas did. To their credit, Texas made some progress by regulating abortion clinics in Texas. What's your take on that issue for Colorado?
And I am pro-life and proud of it and willing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I disagree a little bit with you with regard to how much progress we're making. We aren't making progress legislatively, but amongst the people we are.
Okay.
And with the people in America and in Colorado, especially young people, this is what's so great about it. Young people are with us on life. The people are with what the state of Texas did. So I think that's where we need to be talking about with when it comes to abortion. That is that it's make the Democrats say, make the pro-abortion people say that abortion clinics don't need health and safety regulations. Mm-hmm. Make them defend late-term abortions.
Mm-hmm. And everything that Kermit Gosnell did out in Philadelphia. You
exactly.
Know.
And so, I know the media is going to ask me about abortion, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to ask them. Mm-hmm. When did you ask Governor Hickenlooper if he agrees with Barack Obama on abortion? And if not, how does he differ?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because Barack Obama supports after the fact abortion.
Right. Born alive.
Late term abortion. And, you know, the stuff that Gosnell did was right in line with the way Barack Obama voted when he was a state legislator.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that turns off so many people. And then the other thing that's happened that I really love, Kevin, is Facebook. Yeah. How many of your friends put a picture of their sonogram on Facebook?
Yeah.
And the more people that do that, and by the way, that's why young people are overwhelmingly pro-life, because they've grown up with those sonogram pictures on their refrigerators of their little brothers, their little sisters, and they know it's a baby. They know it's a baby. Mm-hmm. And we just need to continue to change the hearts and minds of people so that we can protect innocent lives.
There's hope here. There is hope. We've made some progress across the country. I believe there has been progress made. Not every state. And I'm not as proud of Colorado as I am other states on this issue. But we certainly hope that that there's a swing back towards a more principled approach to government here in the 2014 elections. You know, one of the questions we like to ask people running for office is this. It's a really fundamental question, Greg, and I've asked this a number of times to gubernatorial candidates for the governor race in Colorado. Do you fear God? Do you fear God?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is that so important to you, do you think?
Because if there aren't consequences for the likes of Hitler and Ted Bundy after this life, then this world is a miserable, miserable place.
Wow.
But if those people will be held accountable after this life for the horrible things that they've done here, then I have a little more peace about all of that. And that's really what the fear of the Lord is all about. That knowledge that you are accountable, even though maybe you don't think anybody's watching. You're accountable.
Yeah. And this God is way, way bigger than the premier of Germany, Adolf Hitler, anybody else, any other tyrant that gains a huge amount of power. There is a creator of heaven and earth who's way, way bigger than that twerp.
Yeah.
It's important to know. It's a
really
important
miserable world this is if that isn't true. And it is truth. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Very well said. Powerful words. Senator Greg Brophy running for governor. What can folks do? I mean, you know, you probably at this point just kicking off the campaign. What are you thinking?
Actually, I'm not just kicking off campaign. I've been killing it for 8 months or something like that, working full time on this. But we have a state assembly coming up. So if you're involved in Republican politics and you want to be a delegate for me, I'd really appreciate it. If you know people in Colorado who are and you want to talk to them about what you heard about me on the radio here, then tell them to get behind Greg Brophy and go to my website, gregforgovernor.com, and check me out if you happen to have, you know, if you've been blessed in the last year and you have resources, you can always help us out financially too at gregforgovernor.com. It all helps a lot. Word of mouth support. And then, of course, when you're at that point, that quiet time in your day and you're praying, pray for my family and pray that, you know, my steps will be true and that we'll get to where we need to be here.
Really critical interview today with Senator Greg Brophy running for governor of Colorado. And by the way, we open up our mic for other gubernatorial candidates if they're interested in joining us on this program. We love these programs and we really love to hear your heart today, Greg. This is great. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you. This is, I mean, this is, I told people when I decided to run, I'm not going to change any of my positions. I'm not going to try to be something that I'm not, just to appeal to the voters of Colorado. I am running as that bicycle riding, gun toting, Prius driving farmer from Eastern Colorado. And if that appeals to the people of Colorado, I will be the next governor. And if not, I'm comfortable with that.
I appreciate the principled stand. When I ran for governor, I had a guy, an engineering manager at one of the companies I worked for. He said when we were in cafeteria directly after the election, he said, I voted for Kevin Swanson for governor because he's a principled man. I just didn't agree with any of his principles. So you know what? Sometimes you just got to go with it. If he's a principled man, vote for him. All right. Thanks, Greg, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Abigail, and I want to tell you about a fun contest that Daddy is doing with Generations. It's picture books for little kids. It'd be so nice to see more cute picture books for children, little children ages 2 through 8. We need more fun picture books for little ones that are based on biblical principles. So this is called the Nurture Little Hearts Book Contest. Daddy says he will give a $2,000 prize and 10% royalties to the winner of the contest. All submissions must come in by July 31st. Check out my daddy's blog at generationswithvision.com for more information about this contest.
And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you here today, broadcasting from the Eastern Plains of Colorado from my basement and speaking to tens of thousands of people around the United States and certainly around the state of Colorado. And we like to come back to Colorado politics from time to time because this is where we live. And Colorado is very much a swing state. For direction of Colorado is effectively the direction of the nation. And so that's why we're sitting here, one of the reasons we're sitting here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, sort of monitoring the direction of where politics is going here in the United States. And a longtime supporter of the program, has been on the program many, many times, is Senator Kevin Lundberg. And he has been on the board of Christian Home Educators of Colorado, which is the parent organization for Generations with Vision. And more importantly for this interview, he has been a part of the legislature of Colorado for a number of years, first in the House, now in the Senate. And he's been through some of the worst years of Colorado history, at least the years that I've been out here. Last year, 2013, was virtually a bloodbath when it comes to conservative, pro-family, pro-life issues. Well, Kevin now joins us on the Generations broadcast. Senator Lundberg, it's good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always great to be with you.
And you're still in the battle. You're still alive.
Oh, my, the battle, it rages. The session here in Colorado goes from early January to early May, so we're right in the middle of it. And,
right.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of action so far.
What is your number one priority as you sit in those green chairs down at the Capitol? Are you looking at preserving freedoms? Are you looking at less government? Are you looking at the life issue? What are your priorities?
Well, it's spelled out in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that the role of government is to secure those rights.
Mm-hmm.
Secure those rights.
Yeah.
So when I look at the legislation, I ask myself, is this making us a more free people, or is this putting the tyranny of government around our neck a little bit tighter?
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's what the other party likes to do. Do they ever admit that? Do they ever admit, you know, we're about restricting people's freedoms. We like big government and we want to control every single aspect of people's lives. Do they admit to that?
Well, not overtly, even though I fold it right into some of my speeches nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's become so obvious. And the term socialism crops up from time to time, even though that's not technically accurate, because socialism is when the government actually owns the means of production.
Mm-hmm.
Here they're simply controlling the means of production and everything else in our lives. And
mm-hmm.
that technically, economically speaking, that's called fascism.
Right.
Boy, they don't like that term at all.
No.
But
they don't like
they
technical
just think
terms.
In terms of
They don't like technical terms.
Yeah, they just think in terms of one little bill at a time, you know, just a little bit more here, a little bit more there, a little bit more here. But their whole goal is to put everything under the control of the government system.
Mm-hmm. Last year, they restricted guns. They restricted the use of alternative medicine amongst families who want to use alternative medicines, like, I guess, chiropractor, acupuncture, that sort of thing. They're just out there controlling more and more of life. They apparently were okay with civil unions for homosexuals and restricting the rights of bakers such that they have to bake cakes for weddings that they would not ordinarily want to bake cakes for. So lots of restrictions last year. What's it look like this year?
More of the same.
Uh-huh.
A little subtler in the Senate. We had two senators recalled, and the third one was almost recalled until she quit and another member of her party took over. But those two members took us down to a bare majority that they have. Mm-hmm. They have 18 members, and on the Republican side, we have 17 members. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed the policy at all. You know, you bring up the issue of same-sex marriage. Well, they passed a bill this year that is really strange. It allows a same-sex married couple, which our Colorado Constitution prohibits.
Mm-hmm.
Says marriage is one man, one woman, period.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got married in some other state and then you filed a federal tax income joint return, Colorado will honor that joint return of a same-sex couple. And they passed that law.
Wow.
The gun issues, we've put several bills before them this year to say, let's roll this back. Let's go back to before all this bad stuff you put in place last year. And they've been killing those on a party line vote.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the issue of controlling parents' authority on determining whether their kids get alternative medical care.
Mm-hmm.
That was attached to two separate bills where it literally bans a certain alternative medical practitioners from treating any child under the age of two, bans it. And wow. I actually have a bill that says, no, let's get rid of that ban. It was heard just a few days ago in committee. The vote will come up on Wednesday.
Okay.
And that I'm hopeful we can get that passed, but it's going to take a bit of a rebellion on the part of one or more Democrats to make that happen.
Wow. You would think the Democrats use chiropractic.
Well, and let me be clear.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't include chiropractic or acupuncture, because those are separate licensed.
Oh, I see.
It's everything else.
Okay,
you know,
like herbal treatments.
Herbal treatments, nutritional things.
Right.
There are just so many areas that they put some bills in place last year to regulate some of them, those who call themselves naturopathic doctors. And then all the others, they said, well, you can practice, but only a very narrow spectrum. And then they said, but you cannot at all practice on any child under the age of two. So it's every citizen in the state of Colorado that has yet to reach the age of two is banned from many of these medical treatments that work for some people.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
It should be up to the parents.
I'm not sure that the liberals in Europe would have gone for something so restrictive as what the liberals here in Colorado went for.
Oh, unquestionably. Uh-huh. This is really a move on the part of, you might say, the organized medical establishment. And they lined up. It was the Colorado branch of the American Academy of Pediatricians who actually spearheaded this. But then they gave a list of other, you know, organizations of doctors and nurses who said, no, we don't want any of these people being able to see a child under the age of two. And that's deeply troubling to me. But as I say, I'm still working on that one, and it's not dead yet. So maybe we can pull a little bit of it out.
Yeah.
That's part of the process. Is even in a tough political environment, you look for those little, as you said, islands of freedom.
Yeah.
Those aspects that you can establish for at least some people somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And the battle for parental freedoms is critical. I think with this medical care bill that you're working on is very, very important, because if they can take away a parent's right to make basic, I mean, really basic medical decisions for their kids, they can take away everything. I mean, they take away, you know, right to homeschool. They can take away the right to feed your children. They can take away the right to live with your children, the right to perhaps discipline your children, even if it meant, you know, sit in the corner or you're going to miss a meal or something like that, or you need to take out the trash for three extra times next week. You know, if they can restrict parental freedoms on one level, before you know it, they're going to take it out on all levels, and we'll be like Germany and Sweden in no time.
Right. When they make that decision that we, the government, know better than you, the parent, then it's over.
Yeah.
And they did that last year, and now I'm testing it. I'm going to find out if they're going to really hold tight to this or not. And I believe that it may seem like a small matter to some because it doesn't affect everybody always, but that basic principle of who's in charge of the lives of small children is so critically important. There are other areas as well. Common Core, there was a bill that was before the Senate just a few days ago that would have pulled Colorado out of this federal Common Core education system that they're trying to press everybody into, and it died on a party line vote because, no, they... Even in the face of overwhelming testimony as to why this is not good, it doesn't do the educational process of Colorado any good, except maybe glom onto a few, federal blackmail dollars. But beyond that, and that's not a good idea, by the way, it just hurts the educational process at every level. But
sure,
they're just bound and determined to put the government in charge.
You're right. The government centralizes, standardizes. They're always going to reduce the quality of the education the average child gets in the state of Colorado if they insist on that.
Exactly. And I might point out that earlier this year, I had an educational tax credit bill that would have saved the state millions, actually tens of millions and eventually billions of dollars, would have given parents more authority over and control over the education of their children. And goes down, party line vote. You know, they just can't see it. But in elections, the same thing. They had a big bill that put Colorado in really the most liberal state for election policies, where there's same day voter registration with very little identification required, and all mail ballots sent out. So they were sending out hundreds of thousands of ballots to people that don't exist anymore. My sister called me up during the last election and said, I've got four ballots in my hand because they're sending out these ballots to people who lived here many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this year they came up with another election bill that presses that same policy on the special districts, the small districts that go for so many bond elections and spend millions and millions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put that through the same unreliable election process.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll only help the dishonest voters. It will not help the honest voters. You know, they'll throw away the extra three ballots, but not so for the dishonest voters. No, they're doing the best they can to be sure that Colorado government turns into the most dishonest, the most totalitarian, the most miserable state that they could possibly create. It's too bad their worldview has been so saturated in liberalism and socialism, as you say, fascism. And Kevin, I think the minority of people who stand for freedom are just going to have to continue to fight the good fight and never give up. And I think your testimony is very strong for the rest of us.
And actually, Kevin, let me leave you with this. That's the bad news side, that the majority in Colorado is in charge of putting more government in place. But there are some very good people with biblical worldviews that serve in our Colorado legislature that know better. And I've seen those numbers grow. And if you look around our country, most state legislatures are in the hands of people who do know how to govern well. Now, you can't say that about what's happening in Washington, but even there, there are many, many of us who are looking to the states to actually control Congress, and there are ways that can happen. And so I'm actually reasonably optimistic that we've got a shot at turning this around, but it's going to take everybody doing everything we can.
Yeah. Well, it's the principal minority that matters, and I think the principal minority is on a comeback in America, and I've seen that since, and certainly in Colorado. Back when I ran for governor in 1994, I mean, that's 20 years ago, there were so few pro-lifers. You know, there's Pat Miller. Remember Pat Miller from the 1980s?
Yeah.
I mean, she was a good rep, and there was Mark Pascal. There's a few good guys, but now it seems like there's a fair number in the Senate and the House. The principal minority is back. The loyal opposition to the ruling party in Colorado is, I think, more energized than ever before and more epistemologically self-conscious, more principled, more committed to certain basic principles, and they're not going to give up. And that's my hope, that they're just not going to give up and walk away. They're going to stay in the battle.
We haven't given up yet, and actually our numbers are growing. So Good. Stay tuned. This might be an interesting year.
Senator Kevin Lundberg, always good to have him on our radio program. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, today, what the Bible says about the civil magistrate. I treat this subject in my book, The Second Mayflower. Who do you vote for? What qualifies a person to deserve your vote? There has to be some minimum qualifications for a Christian to vote for somebody. And what are those qualifications? Certainly the fear of God is preeminent among the qualifications. But if you'd like a full orbed view of how Christians interact with civil government and how we can hopefully one day restore our freedoms, grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Also, a very simple presentation of a biblical worldview as pertaining to family, church, and state. You'll find in my book, What Does the Bible Say About That? A very, very simple book intended for 10, 11, 12, 14, 16-year-olds. And we are translating that little book. It's about a 180-page workbook for children in Russia. We're translating it into Russian. So that should be out here in just about a week or two. We're heading off to Russia in a couple of 3-4 weeks, and we wanted to have a resource that presented a basic biblical worldview to Russia. This may be one of the very first basic introductions to a biblical worldview in Russian, and that book will be available to our Slavic friends here in the United States and in Russia and around the world in just a couple of weeks. Again, what does the Bible say about that? A very basic introduction to a biblical worldview, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. You can get it in English, you can get it in Russian, either way. What does the Bible say about that? Available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.